is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. It's time for the Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Pooks. This week on Kenai Conversation, we're talking about music, specifically local music, since the world of music and performance have been so disrupted in this last year. But it looks like we're on the up and up. People are getting vaccinated. Wednesday markets will have music in the park again. And overall, people just seem really starved for this sort of thing to kind of get back to watching live music and being kind of in the presence of art and all that great stuff. And our guests today are all Peninsula-based musicians. So first, we have Sue Biggs and Jack Will. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We have Nelson Kempf of Kenai. Nelson, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And we have Robert Carlson of Soldotna. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So the first thing I kind of want to ask all of you is what this last year has looked like for you. And it's kind of a broad question, but I know for some people this year has been like a real opportunity to hone in on musical projects. Some people have found this year really creatively stimulating, whereas others have felt totally drained or haven't been able to kind of get together with bandmates or creative partners and have found that kind of to be a really a difficult point and have found it really hard to be creative. So what have you guys kind of been able to do in this last year and what has been put on hold? And Sue and Jack, I kind of want to start with you guys. And I'd love if when you're answering the question, if you could also kind of describe the music that you make for folks who may not have heard you before.
We do a lot of acoustic music. And of course, starting in March, that kind of got all shut down as far as going live in front of people, except we were able to set up on our front porch and play music for people in place of a Sunday evening gathering that we have at our church. And it's a kind of a free and open kind of a worship service where we play a lot of music. And of course, once everything was shut down, our other musicians weren't able to join us, but the two of us were able to go out on our porch. This was when it was getting warmer weather and we started playing and doing Sunday evening on the porch.
And people could come and sit far apart from each other with masks and we would be like 30 or 40 feet away from them. And so, we weren't singing on top of them or anything. And then we started live streaming it on Facebook so people could come from their own homes. And it's kind of become a Sunday evening thing. And even when it got cold, we were able to bring it inside. Now we kind of have Sunday on the porch in our living room. So, but it's been so nice because we were starting to kind of forget how to play because for the first couple of months of not playing and not doing music, it felt very kind of dried up our inspiration and kind of got rusty at what we do. So it's been such a joy to have an outlet for that when we haven't been able to get together with all of our other bandmates. We play probably about 5 or 6 groups on the peninsula. So
what was that decision like to pick up your instruments again? What kind of spurred that rediscovery?
Well,
there was this night. There's kind of a famous story about we hadn't played music for a couple months and we hadn't picked up our instruments at all. And Jack pulled out his guitar and started playing and
some kind of like a calypso
Latin
thing. And
I just
all of a sudden, she started singing these words.
It's like, there's no hope. There's no joy. I want to be Zorro. I want to ride a horse as fast as the wind. I started writing this just out of the blue, out of my heart. I want to be this super person who goes around and saves everybody. It's kind of become a joke now that I have this COVID song about being Zorro. So that was the beginning. We decided we'd better pick up our stuff and start doing some some writing and some playing. And that's when we started hatching new ideas.
Normally, in springtime is normally a pretty busy time for us because of the theater group. And so we're normally, by February, we're rehearsing with the pit orchestra to do a big musical. And that, of course, got shut down. We sometimes do a spring concert with the orchestra, and that was shut down. So we had...
We play for Pier One in the summer when they do their musicals in their pit orchestra. And then we do the big gala concert with the orchestra. And then we also play Veronica's and Odie's and places like that besides the church gig. So,
Well, I'd love to hear more about your COVID song soon, but I want to quickly turn to Robert. I know you just moved back to the peninsula, you were saying, and it sounds like you've been doing some gigs with your band. Can you tell us a little bit about your band and kind of what this past year has been like for you?
Sure. So I moved away a long time ago, and we started the band basically in Texas. And kind of like, I've always played guitar and different things, and I never really thought I would be singing in front of people. I couldn't really sing. I was scared to sing in front of people. So I made these funny songs at first to hide my insecurities behind, you know, trying to be funny. And so I started going to this open mic, and I was scared to death to sing and like barely play the guitar or sing. And then I didn't like being scared, so I just kept going. I'm like, I'm going to get over the fear. Doing that, people started saying, oh, your stuff's refreshing new, whatever. Found some guys, started playing, kind of just got thrown into it. We're playing every Friday and Saturday night after, you know, just in a short while. And then I left Texas 3 years ago, moved to Tucson, Arizona, played with several musicians. I went to New York, played with several up there, and got the first album in 2017. And that was up in New York at Voodoo Studios, like the Pixies and Alice in Chains, they all recorded up there. And then came back and just finally met the right people, you know, as far as the bass player and lead guitarist. And then we play a lot in Tucson, and then we went on our first tour a couple of years ago. And then we came up to Alaska and did a tour. And then another one last summer, we came up and played. And when I was here, I was like, oh, I remember what Alaska's like. I missed it so much. I love it. I got to be here. So afterwards, I looked at property. I found some property here in Soldotna down Funny River a while, and then started building a log cabin. And so I did that until like December, middle of December. Went back to Tucson. We had to play some shows. And then we had the Below Zero tour, which was February 12th to the 21st, 10 nights of music. And we did that. Everybody came back up from Arizona. And I ended up staying. And the drummer that we have now is actually from here. He's amazing. I don't know if you heard of Dirk Kuzi at all, but he's an amazing drummer. And we all mesh well. And the other two guys are in Arizona, and we're planning on doing another summer tour, all of July and a little bit of August, throughout the whole state. Trying to get to the Southeast, though, because I've never even been there. It's weird that there's so many places I grew up here that I've never been to. And so I want to take that opportunity of playing music and going and seeing those places and, you know, like an adventure tour type thing. So looking forward to that.
What are the acoustics of a log cabin like for music making?
Well, it's not that big. You know, I don't have the ceiling finished yet. It's all insulated. So I would say it's just, it's nothing like a bathroom, but it sounds okay. Yeah.
Nice.
That sounds good. So basically a lot of that, I play acoustic shows out here solo, the back door on St. Patty's, and then, you know, Main Street or different various places, probably about once a week. But yeah, we just came up with a new single we recorded before the tour down in Tucson that'll release soon. And then last year before like COVID hit, or right when COVID hit, actually. A couple months later, we released a single called Man on the Right. It's an anti-political song. But as a band, we play mostly what might sound like The Doors or Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd, but our, you know, our own original stuff. That's what people say anyways. But we play a mixture of stuff, you know, Southern rock, blues rock, psychedelic rock, just different types of rock and stuff.
Nelson, how about you? I know that you have a family and you've been taking classes and that you've also been doing a lot of music. How has it been kind of balancing all of that? And how has this last year been like for you?
Yeah, it's been very, very busy for sure. Having the kids, 3 kids home, all the time. And, you know, yeah, I'm in school too. And, so yeah, all 3 or 4 of us or whatever on Zoom meetings all day long. It's kind of a ridiculous thing to see, honestly, but, yeah, it's been, and then I released an album in July. And so, you know, I that basically was done in December of, 2019. Right. And then, so I started booking tours and getting the press campaign and everything going. And then kind of right as everything started rolling out, this all started happening. So, yeah, it's pretty dramatic shift into what I thought would happen last year. Yeah. You know, I'm not like a super, I'm a more recording centric artist than a live centric artist. So I suppose in that regard, it didn't kind of affect me maybe as much as it did, other musicians. But you know, I think creativity also, like, it always flourishes within limitations in different ways. And something like what Sue and Jack were talking about, where they, you know, they kind of found a way to do something new within these kind of boundaries and have a live show on the porch and then start streaming it, you know, on the internet. I think there's a lot of interesting things like that that have started happening this year that just wouldn't have otherwise. And so, you know, as dark as it's been for a while, I think new and interesting kind of possibilities are gonna grow out of the seeds we've planted over the past year, I think.
Yeah, have you been able to, something I wonder about, you know, up here being relatively isolated is, I imagine it can be difficult at times to collaborate with artists from other parts of the country, not living in what some would necessarily think of as like a music hub, like a city like Nashville or something. And I'm wondering if having kind of the virtual platform, if that actually allows for more collaboration with other artists. Nelson, have you been doing anything like that, or do you tend to work with other artists?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I just did a song with a harp player from Argentina and a singer from Anchorage, and then, you know, I've had a saxophone player in Nashville that I work with frequently, and you know, the people from Portland that I record with. And so, you know, I think the COVID thing has pushed that element for sure as well. In terms of people finding ways to collaborate and make music without the physical, and as much as that is a bummer in some ways to like not be able to get together with your friends and play music, it's like it opens up the, as soon as you get rid of the physical as a limitation, it's like, well, now I can, there's no difference between playing with a drummer from Ghana and playing with a drummer from Kenai at this point, you know. So yeah, I think absolutely.
So Sue and Jack, I love this, what you're talking about those kind of Sundays on the porch. Can you kind of describe what the layout of that was like? And did you find that people were really into kind of coming to those performances? Did people seem starved for art and for kind of that sort of gathering? Like what kind of was that like communally and socially to have those and to bring people to your home versus to, you know, a more neutral kind of venue?
Well, we never really had more than maybe a half a dozen people sitting in our driveway. Although, you know, we said it was open to whoever. But once we started live streaming it, then we would notice people popping up on our Facebook live stream and joining us. And it was kind of cool for us to be outside. And the way our deck is set up, it's long enough to distance from people sitting in our driveway or out on our lawn, and it has an overhang in case it rains, so we're protected. You know, I think it may have rained once or twice, but really it was still doable out there. We were had enough protection under the eave. And it opened up a whole new world for us, learning about live streaming and how to put it all together. I've had a camcorder, a pretty decent one, for several years, and I just kind of put that to use, and we started picking up bits and pieces of things that we needed, you know, as far as hardware. And so eventually we carried that on, and once we got enough of a expertise there, it was kind of a steep learning curve, yeah, to say the least. But we were able to actually carry it over to our morning service, and we have a live stream morning service that we just do the tech on it. So, but yeah, it forced us to collaborate together. We do a lot of music separately. Sue teaches a lot of lessons, and she had to go virtual with all of her lessons. So she's the queen of Zoom around here. And but we've been forced to kind of collaborate together, you know. Oh, I got to put this music together for Sunday. Come on in here. And you know, we stand in the hallway with a camera and everything, and the two of us sing and play a song and record it. And yeah. Because we write a lot of music, but usually not together. I'll write a song and I go, okay, here's this song here. And what can you do with it? You know, and then she'll write a song. It's like, okay, here's how this goes, you know.
Well, you mentioned that song that kind of, you know, set this reinvigoration of music in your life kind of going, that COVID song. I mean, what is it like? And I kind of want to hear from all of you on this. What is it like composing music in kind of this sort of environment in a world that is kind of cut down on stimuli in a lot of ways? And you know, I think of in some of the worst parts of the pandemic, a lot of us were just kind of home looking at the wall in a very limited space. And how do you find inspiration in a time like this?
For me, it's usually pretty spontaneous. I have a little camera in my plane, and sometimes I turn it on. And I flew over to Seldovia and landed there, and it was a beautiful day. I forgot that I'd turned it on. And I got back home, and I put it on the computer, and I downloaded it as I was coming into Seldovia Bay. It was just beautiful. So I thought, I need to just have a little video here and put some music with it. I pull out a ukulele and I made this little ditty to go with it. And I said, hey, Sue, I need a fiddle in here. And this is what I wanted to do. I set up a microphone in the hallway and she came in. She goes, okay. And she listened to it. And like one or two takes, it was done. It was that spontaneous. It was just kind of making up something and slamming it together. And so that's kind of cool.
We do a lot of that. It's kind of spontaneous. And then we come together and each put something into it, and then it comes out nicely, and it's something we can use for his videos or worship or gigs or whatever. So we've done a lot of two violin things that way. So
that's so nice to have a built-in musical partner in your life like that. You mentioned that you usually do a lot of music separately. Has music been kind of a part of your relationship that's been kind of foundational to the relationship, or is that something that kind of you guys have kind of woven together later on?
No, I actually met a member of the Spur Highway Spankers back in 94 in Colorado, where I was playing bluegrass in Colorado. And I was at a bluegrass a festival. I was at a festival playing bluegrass, and I met this guy from the Kenai Peninsula. And then I found out I was moving up here, so I looked him up and tried to figure out where he was at. And I heard his band, the Spur Highway Spankers, and Jack was the lead picker there, and we became friends. And they invited me to play fiddle with them here. And so Jack and I have been friends for a long time, but when we became more serious and the basis of our music relationship started in the bluegrass band as friends. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's such a great story. Robert, what is the songwriting process been like for you? You mentioned that you wrote a song that was kind of anti-political. I can't help but think, you know, you probably were inspired by current events, or I mean, how does your songwriting process usually go? Is it different right now, or are you turning out a lot of songs? Are you feeling productive? Are you feeling not productive? What is that like for you?
Well, it's always different. It's not like set way. We do a lot of improv. We might write a song while we're playing a show. I don't know. But that song, Man on the Right, yeah, it's just like anti-government and anti-politicians. And, you know, it's just, there's a music video you can listen at. It's called Man on the Right by 0 Miles to Empty. But it's still write music. I found that when it first hit last year, the whole COVID deal, you know, around, you know, February, March, all that, you know, I thought, oh, let's write a song about COVID thing. And, you know, I was like, everybody's doing that. It's so cliche. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And I did, I wrote some, but you know, we don't play them. There's, you know, as an artist, you write a lot of stuff. You don't play everything you write. I don't anyway. But I don't really, sometimes I don't really just write songs. I write choruses, or I write verses or bridges, or, and then later on, I might remember something while I'm writing another song. And go, oh, that's kind of cool. That goes with this song, you know. Or maybe I might just sit down and write a song in 15 minutes. It's always different, but it's given me more opportunity, I guess, because there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. But there always is a lot of things going on in the world. So I don't know. I'd have to say, for me, it's pretty much the same.
Do you feel inspired kind of being back in Alaska? Is that at all factor kind of into what's been creatively, you know, inspiring for you as an artist?
I do. You know, like I said, we recorded a new song. I like to write all different types of stuff. So I wanted to write a spaghetti Western song. So we came up with Old Pueblo. That's what they used to call Tucson. And, you know, we got some rattlesnake in it, some wind blowing, you know, some spaghetti Western, like if you were to watch an old Clint Eastwood movie or something. And, you know, being up here, I can't help to feel a little bit more folky and maybe a little bit more, Alaskan type music. That's a little bit different, you know? So yeah, I've been playing around with it and, been writing some, I guess, Alaska folk type, acoustic type stuff, a little bit different.
Well, I'm curious to hear from both you and Nelson, because you guys both moved back here after spending time away. How did the music change, or the music scene change from when you left to when you came back? Did it change? What is it like coming back to a place that you grew up in and looking around and how has the music scene been, you know, altered, or are there new faces in the scene? And I'm so curious what that's like after living away for a while. And Nelson, what was that something that you noticed when you came back?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't feel like, I think maybe probably the difference is that this time coming back, I have three kids. You know, last time I was here, I didn't. So, I don't feel super connected to the scene, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think COVID has certainly been a factor in that. And so it's not that I don't feel connected with the scene, I guess, necessarily. I just don't feel like I have a grasp on what's going on here. It certainly seems to me like there's less bar music than there was, like, when I was growing up. Like, you know, where you had a band at the Rainbow and a band at Kenai Joe's and a band at whatever other place, you know, every single weekend, like, all night long. And I don't know if that's so much indicative of the music scene or if it's just, like, demographic kind of stuff in general. I don't know. But I don't know. I've certainly seen, like, some interesting, like, young folks doing stuff around, maybe, like, in the wider, like, all of Alaska. There's a lot of music out of Anchorage right now that's, like, getting a lot of national attention, and so I think as a state as a whole, I think is very active. But in Kenai, I can't quite tell. I think the other folks here might have more to say about it. I'm not sure.
Well, I can say that I agree with Nelson that the bar music is kind of, you know, during the last year, it just kind of went to zero. And I do see friends of mine that are playing again out in bars. And so it's just a matter for us, we don't really feel comfortable doing that yet. I think it was like January or February, they had a band at Parker's over here in Soldotna, and they were letting people come sit in. And I'd built a little lap steel guitar, and I thought, oh, I'm going to take that down there and sit in with him. And that was, I didn't know it then, but that was the last time that I actually played with a group like that. And, you know, they're doing, like, you know, Southern rock and blues. And so the slide guitar, the slide steel, lap steel fit in with that. But, you know, we take all this for granted, or we did before this. And, you know, looking back on it, it's like, wow, you know, here I was in a bar full of people sitting, you know, 2 feet away from all these other musicians. And yeah, it's like, that's so weird. Or like Music in the Park here at Soldotna, where you'd be walking around in a huge crowd of people, you know, people are bumping into each other and everything. And it's like, wow, yeah, we used to do that. So yeah, that's what I see. And I think people, once the weather gets warmer, people will be excited about getting together, especially outside. And we feel a little safer doing stuff outside, to where, you know, we can be up on a stage and be away from people instead of inside a closed space. We haven't reached that point yet. We're really ready to be doing that, but it'll come.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert, what has it kind of been like playing in venues? And we talked a little bit about this earlier. Has it been kind of, you know, hard to kind of figure out what feels safe and what doesn't feel safe? have you been able to kind of strike that balance? Has it been nice to be able to kind of continue performing and keep that, have that element kind of be continuous from then to now? What has it been like performing through this time?
Well, like I said, I was in Tucson and a lot of people there, you know, and they shut down the whole state and stuff. And then, I mean, it was really worrisome last year when all this, you know, cause nobody knew anything really. And I like volunteered and was making masks and protective shields and donating them to old folks' homes and stuff, and got a bunch of people doing it. And I focused my time on that. And I did some like live stuff on, you know, Facebook and different things like that. But then, you know, started writing. But then we came up here. We had like three tours booked, you know, Pacific Northwest, Texas, and Alaska. And the ones in the States canceled everything, and Alaska stayed true. And that's how I came up here. But like in Tucson, you know, everybody has to wear a mask when they come in and they take a temperature and all that. As before, you know, sometimes people will want to come up and they want to shake your hand and talk to you and all that. And so I try to avoid all that. And it's kind of hard to do sometimes when people have been drinking, especially, but I try my best with it. Or we carry a mask when we're off stage and wear a mask down in Arizona. Up here, it's more like the Wild West on the Kenai Peninsula. And I just make sure nobody, like, you know, is using my microphone or on my mic, because sometimes people try to do that. And just got to the point where, you know, cases are a lot lower here. And, you know, I feel that I haven't got tested if I got it, but I'm pretty sure I had it last year. I had an incident where, like, I was sitting at the campfire and I keeled over and had extreme pain and I started sweating and it was weird. And, like 3 a.m. it broke and I had some liver issue, and, I went to the doctor cause it hurt for like a week, and he said, oh, it could be from a virus. And I'm like, well, could it be COVID? And he's like, oh no, it's not COVID. And I'm pretty sure it was, cause my girlfriend at the time, when she went back to Tucson, she had to get tested. Well, she got tested for antibodies and she had them. And I remember when she said her legs were hurting for 3-4 days, like body ache type stuff. And I was like, she's like, you think I have COVID? I'm like, oh no, it's probably just not used to the cold weather. But she did, apparently. So I'm guessing I did too. And then, you know, how it was in 2019, when at the end of the year, everybody got super sick. I don't know if you guys did, but I did here, went back to Tucson, and it was like I was tired for a month. It was horrible. And I think that's probably, you know, was the case too. But I just try to, you know, do the best I can. Music's my passion. So it's like, I understand people don't want to come out because maybe they're at risk or whatever it is, they don't want to, and that's totally cool. I'm either for you can wear a mask or not. You know, you do what you want to do, it's your life. And, you know, I try to respect everybody else's wishes with whatever it might be. But I love playing music, and, you know, that's just what I'm going to do.